is Middle Ground Radio with Pastor Nate Gallagher. In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, Paul penned these words, "God loves a cheerful giver." Being generous is not just something that we are called to do, but something that we are called to be. And we can be generous in multiple ways. In this brand new series, we will be looking at generosity and giving financially. Here is Pastor Nate with today's message of Cheerful Giver.
And if we've learned in this series that giving is an attitude, not an amount. That generosity, it's an attitude, it's not an amount. It's not about how many zeros you have after the first number in whatever you're putting in, or if it's 50 cents, if it's 50 bucks, whatever it is. That generosity, it's not an amount, it's an attitude, it's a posture. It's we're saying, God, we want to participate in what you're doing in this way. We've also learned that we can give, but we cannot outgive God. That God always gives more. That if we, and not in the sense of like where if we give God 10 bucks, he's going to give us 100, but God wants to bless our life. God will always desire to bless your life. And when we live in the lane that God wants us to live in, he will always and constantly bless our lives. And then we learned last week that we're blessed when we give, that there's actually gifts that we get when we give. And that's kind of the whole idea of this series of Cheerful Giver. Jesus would say that it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And that's kind of the idea, that when we give, especially in this Christmas series, that or Christmas season, it's all about getting, isn't it? Like we're like, oh man, I hope I get this for Christmas. Like the presents are starting at our house, the presents are starting to go under the tree. And I like look at one box and I'm like, man, I really hope it's this. Like I'm that guy still. Like, I really hope. I wonder what you, I hope it's this. And that's kind of how we are. But what we're trying to do is sort of to practice better than getting is giving. That's more blessed. And isn't it true? Like, when you give somebody a good gift, like you thought about it and it's exactly what they wanted and they open it up and you're like, yeah, I did that. Like, I gave. It really is a blessed thing to give. And so that's what we're learning. And tonight, as we conclude, we're going to see that generosity is a part of worship. Generosity is a part of worship. And we're going to look at this. We're going to defer from the text in 2 Corinthians, and we're going to be in Matthew chapter 2, and we're going to look a little bit at the wise men that visited Jesus after his birth. Well, Christmas is just a few days away, so we got to look at the Christmas story before we get there. So Matthew chapter 2 is where we're going to be, and I've titled this message, if you take notes, After Jesus. After Jesus. Matthew chapter 2. We're only going to look at a couple verses. Quick context. We're going to start in verse 9. Jesus has been born with the story of the shepherds and the angels and no room in the inn. All of that has already gone down. And then there's these characters, the wise men or the magi in the original sort of language there. They've traveled to try to find Jesus. They see a bright star in the sky and they're like, he's here. The Messiah, this whole prophetic thing, it's happened. He's here. Let's go find him. And the star leads them, in their mind, to Jerusalem. They show up to Jerusalem. They know a king is coming. The Messiah is coming. And so they think it's going to be in the king's city, Jerusalem, David's city. They go to Jerusalem. And for whatever reason, they can't find this king that was supposedly born. Like I thought, they look at the palace. They look in the temple. They're like, where is this guy? So they go to King Herod, and they're like, hey, has another king been born? And this King Herod, he was not a good dude. He was actually a very anxious, stressed out guy. And in fact, when he died, before he died, he locked up this guy Herod in Matthew chapter 2. The Bible didn't talk about this, but history tells us this, that this guy Herod locked up 100 men before he died, with the order that said, when I die, I want these 100 men killed, because I know nobody's going to cry for me when I die, but if all of these people die, there's going to be crying in this city. That was this guy. So he hears that another king is born and his throne is threatened. And he's beginning to freak out. He's getting stressed out. And they get all these scribes and these different priests together. And they're like, okay, where is this king supposed to be born? And so they search the scriptures and they realize it's not in Jerusalem where David lived. It was in Bethlehem where David was from. And so the Magi, these wise men, they leave Jerusalem and they head to Bethlehem. And the king tells them, hey, when you find Jesus or when you find this king, tell me about it because I want to worship him too. And so then we fast forward and these wise men, they show up to Jesus where he was born. And this is what happens beginning in verse 9. So when they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star, which they had seen in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house and saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Let's pray real quick, and then we'll talk about these verses. Father, we thank you again for your word. We ask that you would speak to us. And as we talk about generosity and worship, God, we pray that you would give us a heart of worship. Lord, that we would love you more and that we would understand the great gift that you've given to us. We thank you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. From this brief story, these couple of verses that we read, I think we learned some very important principles about worship and generosity. Worship and generosity, and that these two things go hand in hand. And I believe this will help us as we attempt to live generously. And we've said a few times that generosity, it's not a destination, it's a direction. In other words, generosity, you will never one day arrive at generosity. We're like, I'm the most generous person. There's nothing left for me to give. I'm there. This is me. No, generosity is a direction where every single day we choose to live generous. We choose to live generous with our words, with our facial expressions. You ever been in a conversation with somebody and you're talking with them and you can tell they are not listening? Primarily because they're like this. And you're like, uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yep. Uh-huh. Right? It's like, no, generosity would say like, yeah, let's talk. Let's have a conversation. We're generous with our words, with our emotions. We're generous with our time. We're generous with our actions. We're generous with our money. We're generous with everything that we have. We've received it, and so we're going to give it to God. And this text shows us how worship and generosity go together. The first thing I want to draw from this text is that worship is a posture. Worship is a posture. We often think of worship as a song or a collection of songs for a few moments, right? Like we just had worship. The band just led us in worship. The worship portion is done. There's been a period on worship, and now we've transitioned to sermon point, and then we'll go back to maybe a half a song of worship or so, maybe two. We'll see how the night goes, and then we'll be done. Worship is, it's not a song, it's a posture. Recently, in the main sanctuary, when the person would come up to do announcements at church, oftentimes after they would do their announcements, they would say something like, "We are going to worship one last time." And after a few times of them saying this, I actually grabbed them and I said, like, "Hey, I don't like the wording that you're using." And like for probably most part, people didn't even notice. But I was like, I don't like that we're saying that worship is going to happen one last time because we're going to sing one last song. Because that's not worship. It's a portion of worship. Like singing is a part of worship, but that's not all of worship. And so it's not like the four songs, that was worship, but the announcements, that's not worship, and the teachings, that's not worship. No, no, no. The whole service, our whole life is worship. Everything that we do has the ability to be worship to God. Worship is not a song, it's a posture. In fact, the word that's used in this text and throughout the New Testament, when we read the word worship and we think of a song, it literally means to kneel and to kiss the hand. That's the word worship. It has nothing to do with singing. It doesn't say bring out the acoustic guitar and the cajon and let's worship. No. The word worship, it means literally to kneel down in reverence and kiss the hand. To kneel down and to show reverence. It's literally a posture as a sign of reverence. And it requires humility. Because you can't recognize the power and greatness of someone else without first showing humility. Right? When we're saying, man, God, we are worshiping you. We believe that you have the answers, that you can make a way when we can't, that you are the one that bled and died for our sin. What we're saying is, God, I don't have the answer. You do. It shows humility. It's a posture. And that's exactly what these wise men are doing. Think about the humility involved for these guys to travel across the country, travel across the world, show up to a baby and give him a bunch of gifts. Like, they are recognizing Jesus as king. And it's interesting because oftentimes babies would be princes, and then once they grow up and take the throne, then they're king, right? Like, when a royal baby is born, he's not king yet. He's baby. He's baby prince. But then one day, they, like, get the crown, like, the scepter happens, and it's like, okay, now you're king. These wise men, in humility, say, no, we're not waiting for one day you to be the king. You are the king right now. And think about how these wise guys have more money than Jesus even has. Here they are. They show up. King Jesus. Prophetic, fulfilling Jesus. And they show up, and where is he living? Or where is he born? A barn? Like, wait, where's your crib? Where's, like, your fancy, like, gold-hanging, like, swirly thing that goes over the crib that, like, keeps the baby entertained? What are those things called? What is it? A mobile? A mobile. Where's your fancy golden mobile, buddy? And they show up, and the money that Jesus has is the money that they gave him, right? The gold, frankincense, probably the most expensive things that this family owned would be the gold, frankincense, and myrrh that they received. And these wise men show up, and they say, Jesus, you are king, and we're going to honor you as king. Humility. Worship is a posture. It's not a song. Worship is something that we choose to do with our life. And these guys, they show up, and they worship. Worship is a posture, and that posture is humility and reverence, and it allows you to worship in any setting, in any season of your life. Worship is a posture. Second thought is that we worship through giving. We worship through giving. We're told that the wise men, they bowed down to Jesus, they gave him gifts, and it says, it doesn't say, then they gave him gifts. It says, and they gave them gifts. Notice it again there in verse 11. It says, they fell down and worshiped him. That's the idea of bow down and kiss the hand. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So part of their worship and giving went hand in hand for them. They showed up, they're paying reverence to the king. They're saying, Jesus, you are king. Jesus, you are God. And not only are we're declaring that, but we're showing you that by our giving. We give as an act of worship to God because genuine worship always leads to action. If the only action your worship leads you to is like lifting your hands in a room where everybody's doing it, Or singing a song that, like, the lyrics are literally on the screen, and you're like, that's all my worship is. That's pretty weak. That's pretty weak worship. And sometimes I can tell you that I need the setting where we're together, and I can lift my hands, and I can sing the song, and I can be together with you, and we worship God in that setting. I need that. Absolutely. But if that's the extent of my worship, that's pretty weak. Imagine that my wife Hannah, the only affection I ever showed her was every once in a while I gave her a high five. Like, I love you, babe. High five. But there was never a hug. There was never a date. There was never, hey, I'm going to buy you something just because, or because Christmas is here, or there was never real affection. That's pretty weak, isn't it? Real adoration for something means I'm going to give towards that something. And so real Worship always leads to giving. Because it's not, yeah, God, I want to give you my song. I want to give you my hands. I want to give you my thoughts. But Lord, I want to give you more than that. I want to give you my abilities. I want to give you my time. I want to give you my gifts. I want to give you my treasures. Everything that I have, God, I want to give to you as an act of worship. That's why the scripture can say that in all things, do as unto the Lord. Because it's an act of worship. Everything that we do becomes an act of worship. Real love and adoration always leads to real action. And notice that this men's gifts, they were called a treasure. A treasure. That's not really like a lighthearted, passive, like pocket change type of word, is it? Treasure is not pocket change. Like here, hey, $5. Actually, this belongs to Trent. I've got to give this back to you after service. After service. But it's like, hey, I didn't. I got you, buddy. Like, it's not pocket change, right? It's not like, oh, here you go. No. A treasure is something that you've thought about. A treasure is something, it's intentional, and usually it's something pretty big. Like, if this is my treasure, like, we don't really use that word all the time, because it'd be kind of weird, like, want to see my treasure? Like, no. Not at all. Treasure, it's like, it's a big deal. And these guys, they bring their treasure to God, because the idea is that it was valuable to them and no doubt a sacrifice for them. Treasure is a sacrifice. If I'm giving this to you, I'm sacrificing something. I no longer will have this thing. We talked about that earlier in the series, that when we give to God, we no longer have what we gave to God. If you choose tonight to give God $10, you're saying, God, I'm going to give this to you. You no longer have $10. That's how it works. But it's a sacrifice. We're saying, God, you're worthy of this. I want to give this to you. A gift of worship should always cost us something. Listen to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 and 16. It says it like this. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So the first part, he says, let's worship God with our singing. Let's worship God with our voices, the fruit of our lips. But then he says, but do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. God says, yes, sing, lift your hands, praise God, that's worship. But time out, hold up, before you think that that's all of worship, he says, don't forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Sacrifice. Something, I'm giving this up. I'm laying this down. I no longer get this. I'm recognizing, God, you are worthy of it. And so from a posture of worship, God, I am sacrificing. I'm laying this down to you. Worship leads to giving. These things go together. Worship and giving. Final thought. We worship for a reason. We worship for a reason. And I'm actually going to ask the worship team to come up here. I know it seems already, but I want to close this thing down and I want us to worship. So worship team, you guys can come up here. We worship for a reason. These wise men, they gave very specific gifts, didn't they? They weren't just because they sound cool, like gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Or it wasn't because, like, it's just adorable when, like Christmas pageants happen and little kids try to say it, and it's like gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and that's just hilarious. So, like, let's use those things. That sounds nice. No, there were very specific gifts that they gave. And what they gave, this is so important. If you don't get anything else, get this. What they gave shows why they gave. What they gave, the gold, frankincense, and myrrh, shows why they gave. Gold was a gift that speaks of royalty. You give gold to a king. A palace, when we picture a palace, or we picture a crown, or a picture of king, there's gold definitely in the picture. Because gold was a gift that speaks of royalty. And this gift, as they showed up in worship, they saw little Jesus, and they began to worship him, and they gave him this gift of gold. They were recognizing that Jesus is King. The second thing, frankincense was a gift that speaks of divinity. This was a fragrance. It was an oil or a fragrance that the priest would wear. This frankincense. And this gift shows that they recognize Jesus as God. First, they're like, Jesus, you are King. This is the King that our country, that our nation, that our world has been waiting for. But we also recognize, Jesus, you're God. Something more than just a king. You're not just going to be a great ruler. You're not just going to be another David or another king that lived and was a great guy. We recognize you as king, but we also recognize you as God. And then the myrrh, the third thing that they gave, this gift spoke of death. Which, I mean, if you're a mom, you'd be like, okay, buddy, come on. Myrrh was something that they would use to put on the body of a dead person as they buried him. It was another fragrant. It was another fragrance designed specifically for burying, and this was their gift. Why would you give a baby myrrh? They recognized something. They recognized not only was he king, not only was he God, but he was also Savior, and that through his death, the reason he came, people, humanity could have life. And so these wise men, they show up in worship. They praise God. They bow down. They worship him. And then they give to him. And their gifts, what they gave, showed why they gave. Because they, as individuals, recognized Jesus to be King, to be God, and to be Savior. What they gave showed why they gave, who they thought Jesus to be. Because of who they believed him to be, they gave. And what they gave shows us why they gave. Listen, what we give shows us why we give. And I don't just mean the amount. Because we could be giving $5 and we could be saying more than somebody else that's giving $500. Because oftentimes people will, I mean, especially this time of year, they're like, do you know what we should do? We should give some money to church or give some money to charity. It is the season, right? And we just blindly write a check, and it could be more zeros than we would know what to do with. And then we show up with our $5 and we're like, I got $5. But our heart is what God cares about. The attitude is what God cares about. But what we give and how we give it shows why we give. And so when we show up and we say, okay, God, here's my gift. This is what I have. What it's doing is it's showing, it's fitting for what we've received from God and what we believe about him. Hannah and I, we have our gift in here. We prayed about it. Both of us, we couldn't make up our minds together, so we split it up and we're giving it two different things because we couldn't figure it out. We both felt like God was leading us in specific things. But we prayed, and especially the time of year and just life, it's a sacrifice for us. It's a sacrifice. But we believe that God's worthy of it. And we believe that our gift, even though, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, it's not going to do a whole lot. It's not going to do a whole lot. But we believe that what we give shows why we give. God, you're worthy of my gift. God, you're worthy of what I have. And we pray that God does something with our little gift. And when we do something together and we say, God, we want to participate in your work as a response to him, as worship to him, we believe that God can do something supernatural. Remember, I titled this message, After Jesus. And the reason for that, the last verse, and I'll be done. The first verse of this chapter, Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, it says, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judah in the days of Herod, after Jesus was born. The reason I bring that up is because their gift was a response to what Jesus had already done. It was after Jesus. Jesus was born. The gift of God to humanity, grace. John would say that the Word made flesh. That God the Father, God the Creator, God sent his son as a gift for all of mankind. And after Jesus, they responded in worship. Our gift is always a response to what God has done for us. We respond and we say, God, thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for who you are. Thank you that you are God. Thank you that you are King. Thank you that you are Savior. Thank you that I can know you. I can have a relationship with you. My life can be changed by you. And as a response, as a posture of worship, I want to participate in giving. It might not be much. It might not make a big difference. But God, I want to offer this to you as my part in worship.
You've been listening to Middle Ground Radio with Pastor Nate Gallagher. Thanks for tuning in. Today's teaching was the fourth message in our series, Cheerful Giver, and we pray that the Lord spoke to you through it. If you feel like you'd like to give to the ministry here, go to middlegroundradio.com and simply select Give. Thanks again for listening, and we hope to see you here next time on Middle Ground Radio.